Hello, 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 and welcome to the show. Thank you for tuning into Baltimore's Best Technology Show. It's me, Will Mapp, your Biz Tech Insider, and you're hearing me live from the Mary Carter Smith Studio at Morgan State University. If it's Sunday night and Will is in Baltimore, that must mean that it's time for the sink. I'm in the big chair at the behest of Briefcase Radio's Omar Muhammad for another night and renewed for another year.
Woo!
On the sink, we are here to help you look past the hype and choose the best technologies to help you improve and progress in your business. And on my right, my right-hand man, 50 grand, the best color commentarian and technologist, Hermlin Best.
Hermlin?
I know, right? Hermlin Best. How
yes.
you doing, man? I was trying to get some reverb.
Reverb. Yes, thank you. Thank you. I'm happy to be here as usual.
And on tonight's show, in light of $15 an hour, McD's. Invest in kiosks. We were just talking about this off air. We could talk about it again in a couple of minutes. Amazon Go. I know y'all have been using your Prime accounts and abusing your Prime accounts, but Amazon has a new product storefront that you Amazon Go. We're going to talk about that tonight. $2 trillion worth of jobs can be automated. I know, Debbie Downer. But we're going to talk about that. That's part of the theme of tonight's show. And we want you to keep your kids safe around smart toys this holiday season. We know you're trying to get that Hatchimal, you know. And so we want to help you keep you safe, your kids safe. And tonight's main topic is future-proof. That's right. How can you keep your business alive and thriving with this future? And so if you have a smartphone, a PC, a tablet, or you're connected to a local internet kiosk, you can join our Legion of Syncophiles and listen to tonight's show and 168 other great episodes before it by subscribing to The Sync on your iOS device using your podcast app and by searching for The Sync in iTunes. Or you can download our very own app, The Sync, in the Google Play Store using your Android device. For those of you listening on the internet itself, please tune in at weaa.org or by downloading the NPR app on your mobile device and searching for WEAA. Click on the ads and support our sponsors so we can keep bringing you the best technology and helping you look past the hype. Please leave us a comment and rate our show. It actually helps. All right. It's time to make your business future-proof tonight, ladies and gentlemen. We want to hear from you, Baltimore. It's a merry time of year. You know, it's the end of the year.
Yeah.
We have a whole brand new 2017 to look forward to.
Yeah, so spend all the money you have left over.
Expense. What expenses, you can expense.
What you can expense, exactly.
And so we want to hear from you, 410-319-8888. Please pick up the phone. And, of course, you can always tweet your questions to BizTech Insider on Twitter or me directly at WilliamMap3. And like normal Sunday nights, we've got questions already about the dot. On normal Sunday nights, we got to start with the announcement. So please visit www.edacmorgan.com or call 443-885-3663. You can also follow EDAC at hashtag EDAC Campus on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. If you need any help with your small business, we're talking about, you know, running an email campaign, you know, getting help with marketing, getting help with sales, all that jazz, please check out edacmorgan.com. January is Improve and Progress Month, the month getting you prepared for personal and professional growth. The special radio workshop is on January 1st, New Year's Day. You got that? All right. And moving right along to email marketing courses. There's an Improve and Progress 14-day email course.
Wow.
Now, this isn't just, you know, how to open up.
This is how to open up our private server.
The election was last month.
I'm not gonna say anything. I'm not gonna say anything.
This isn't about how to open up your web browser and send an email, but this is actually how to write a really great message that people will want to engage with. How to get more opens in your emails and not like me, I just, you know, right swipe, you know, right to left swipe, just deleting email all the time. But there's an Improve and Progress 14-day email course, you know, that's being hosted by EDAC. And there's Building an Income Pipeline, Putting Some Money into Your Pocket. Please register for both workshops at www.edacmorgan.com and click on Events. Marketing Workshops Using Social Media and Email, How to Get Supporters, Including Sponsors, Volunteers, Workshop Speakers for Your Events, go to edacmorgan.com. And the U Economy, Join the Movement, The 9-to-5 job is over. I've been saying this for years.
Yes, you have.
The 9-to-5 job is over. Take control of your time, happiness, and money. Create your own income pipeline. There's a weekly meeting at Greenwich Place Town Center, and that's 10090 Mill Run Circle, Owings Mills, Maryland, at 7 p.m. The Morgan Entrepreneurship Alumni Chapter meets the first Tuesday of each month. For more information, go to morganeac.org. And lastly, we have Moms as Entrepreneurs Academy 3. Go for more information at www.maeentrepreneur.com. That is maeentrepreneur.com. So tonight, ladies and gentlemen, is Future Proof. We want to hear from you. We're going to talk some controversial stuff.
As usual.
And so give us a call, 410-319-8888. And we're going to get to some information about the dot after we get through the news. But so first, the news. Keep your kids safe this year with smart toys. And so this is a public service announcement.
It really is. This is scary. We're
trying to help people out. So there's a company called Genesis Toys, and they make a series of smart toys called My Friend Kayla and the IQ. And so, you know, you can imagine what Kayla may look like. It's My Friend Kayla and IQ. And they're smart toys, which means that these toys can actually interact, you know, with your child. You know, your child speaks to it.
So it's like the beginning of a movie.
A little bit of programming.
A little bit of programming.
And then you have like a watered down Chucky.
You should go into mommy's wallet.
Now, you know, some of these dolls use Bluetooth connectivity to actually help the programming cycle. And so,
no, how secure is that? Yeah, that's what I
thought. So there have been reports that a malicious coder can actually use the doll's Bluetooth capabilities to communicate with your child. So if you're imagining this, there's a dude sitting outside, you know, he's searching for the My Friend Kayla, you know, Bluetooth address. And then he's, you know, connecting to the doll and talking to your kid through the doll. And so formal complaints have been lodged against Genesis Toys in the U.S. and U.K. Genesis Toys, as Christmas time, refused to comment. But the objective here is that we want you to be careful, you know, take a look at these products, get some reviews to figure out what's really going on with them before you, you know, purchase them or Santa delivers them to your kids on Christmas morning. These are just things that you should be in the know about.
A little known fact that Putin got this for Trump's kids for Christmas. You didn't know that, did you?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it was nice of him. It was nice of him. He was looking out for him.
All right.
Because he wants to talk to him.
And did Trump take him to the Trump grill afterwards, too? All right. First controversial item. McDonald's invests in self-service kiosks. Baltimore, we want to hear what your thoughts on this. You know, Trump, you know, saved 1,000 jobs, you know. And we were thinking about reaching out to our president-elect and to ask him how he would actually fix some of the automation that will affect jobs. Because I think the bigger issue isn't, you know, whether or not
you
we're going
to
find jobs.
And I say this, you can't deport robots. You can't deport robots. And even in that scenario where he said he saved, we'll say, 1,000 jobs, they're investing, I think it was $15 million into automation.
In automation.
And that was almost like, you know, way down in the story, and people didn't really pick up on that.
Right.
And no one said, what's going to happen to the jobs that were saved after you invest this $15 million into the automation?
They're going to be automated.
They're going to be automated. And I'm wondering, and this is what I wonder, because there's been a real, I don't know if you even paid attention, Will, but there's been a real lashing out to immigrants, people that live outside of our country that come into our country to work, whether legal or illegal. There's been a lot of lashback that we want to make America great again, that we want the jobs here in America for Americans.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's an argument. You know, I mean, that's something that I think that you can make a platform, and then it's visceral. People want that. People want jobs, and they want Americans to be employed. I don't care who you are. Of course we want Americans to be employed. So there's – at what point I wonder whether or not there'll be a equal and more and even more voracious backlash to this automation.
To automation and AI.
Right, because I wonder whether or not people just don't recognize it yet or whether or not it will be, you know – a part of the next election or part of two elections from now, you know what I mean?
So
to limit automation or to to, you know, God forbid, I know you're a technologist, to hamper the exponential growth of automation.
So here's what I think. I think you hit the nail on the head. That blurb in there was buried in the article.
Oh, yeah, it was.
And it flew over everyone's heads. And so here it is, ladies and gentlemen. When you hear the word automate, and when I use the word automate, that means we're taking a task. We're taking a task that someone could, a person, a human being could do, and we're letting a machine do. And so when you hear that, you know, our president-elect saved 1,000 jobs, and then you also read in the article that they're going to invest $15 million in automation. To me, you know, everyone wants to have this boogeyman that the Mexicans are taking our jobs, or the Pakistanis are and the Ethiopians drive all the cabs. Well, here's the deal. Uber isn't even going to hire Pakistani and Ethiopians to drive cabs.
Own self-driving cars.
That's right.
I mean, it's coming. I mean, and it's coming sooner than you think. It's not. This isn't 20 years out.
Right. And so for me, you know, when we talk about future proof, is, you know, pay a little bit closer attention to the details, because the devil's in the details, right? And so, you know, with this thing here, it's like 1,000 jobs. Look, that's great. But then you're going to invest $15 million in eliminating the remaining 700 jobs that you have at this plant. And so we, as human beings, we like to point to a boogeyman, but at some point,
it makes us feel better that it's something that I can't control.
The harder work, the second order thinking, if you will, is like, you know, the bigger deal is, what do we do about the machines and software and new learning capabilities that software
artificial
has,
intelligence,
you know, towards our economy and jobs. Now, I have my beliefs. I think we were at a Christmas party recently, and people thought I was nuts. I think a lot of these things are good for our overall economy. But, you know, to really be concerned and to be future-proof, you know, you got to look at what software is going to do, because, you know, this is perfect. McDonald's is going to invest in kiosks. And me personally, I love a kiosk. I do, you know, because I go to places and I'm on a mission.
Is there where you get your CDs from the red box?
There's a vending
machine. R.I.P. Blockbuster. R.I.P.
You can buy socks. You can buy socks from a vending machine in Annapolis Mall now. You know, so I'm a fan of the kiosk, but the real implication is that, you know, that is someone's, you know, source of employment, you know, and how they make their living. And it doesn't really bode well for those employees. It's
especially in the backdrop of this fight over minimum wage. And we talked about this. Go on. I'm sorry.
Well, see, here's my beef with that. It's you see it from one side. You see it from one side. And I'm
employment?
A business owner. I'm a business owner. There's business owners right here listening to this show right now. When you have $15 minimum wage for a job at McDonald's, there's nothing wrong with McDonald's. I was a bag boy for many years. That employer is going to look for ways to save that money.
Yes.
Because remember, we're talking about burgers. It's a low margin item. You know, we're talking about burgers. And so,
now, maybe less ketchup on your burger, or
there may
less,
be
people
less people
putting money on put ketchup on the burger.
Burgers. And so the thing is that, you know, the next step is that, all right, we're going to legislate $15 an hour. You know, McDonald's is going to say, if I got to pay an army of people putting ketchup on burgers $15 an hour, I can pay $1 million to outfit these stores with machines, and let's see what happens.
Yeah.
And that's where we're at. And so when people, my argument that night is that it sounds great on the surface, you know, to lobby
$15
for
everybody,
hour, right? But from an economics point of view, and this is, everyone should take economics, from an economics point of view, an enterprise, a small business, whether you're two people, three people, or 30,000 people, they're going to look for ways to save that money and to put more money in your pocket.
That's exactly right.
And so, that's all I'm saying.
Just say it.
I'm not going to say it, but that's what's going on.
But if you raise the minimum, if you make someone raise the amount of money, I don't even say minimum wage.
Mm-hmm.
If you make someone raise the amount of money that they have to pay for anything, whether it's a company, whether it's a household,
right.
If they raise the amount of money in my household to make me pay for water, I'm talking to you, Baltimore City, if you raise the amount of money that I have to pay for water in Baltimore City, I'm going to have to find that money somewhere else.
That's right.
Just because they raise the amount of money that I have to pay for water doesn't mean my employers are like, we heard that your water bill went up, so we think that we're just going to start paying you more. Or we're going to start charging you less for eggs mm-hmm. because the water bill went up. It's one thing affects the other. And I think what happens is we get caught up in a lot of very emotional arguments, and it's very easy to make an argument. Now, I think minimum wage is something different. It's because I think a lot of times there were at one point people view minimum wage jobs differently. Mm-hmm. Like there's a segment that believes the minimum wage job is for the high schooler or for the person that just wants something on the side, mm-hmm. or versus there are people that say no, there are people that get these jobs to feed their families and right. to live, and who, unfortunately, don't see anything more than this particular section of work for some time now.
Right.
And I think that that's the argument, is that, you know, hey, we have people that are living off of this,
right.
where other people are like, well, you shouldn't be living off this. You should be looking for more.
Right.
And I think that's sometimes easier said than done. But there's an argument to be made.
See, the thing is, I would say that the harder work is, you know, like asking the question, why do we have, you know, minimum wage jobs? You know, why do we have, you know, people dependent on these jobs? Like, what is it about our economy that is, when we have people in the prime of their life, you know, they're working at McDonald's? Right. Let's ask those questions and figure out what's going on.
You're saying the root causes. Why do people need a minimum wage job to feed their family?
Right.
And that's hard. That's the hard part.
It's
easy to just say, raise the minimum wage.
But see, the thing is, it's just like it's easy
and
to
eat at McDonald's.
It's just like it's easy to build a casino and to solve your budget gap problem.
Oh, we were just shut down.
I'm putting it out there. Like,
yeah,
we need to
right.
do some hard thinking. But anyway, moving on.
We could do this all day.
We could do this all day. Moving on. And so Amazon Go. I know this is like doom and gloom here, but
it's exciting.
It is exciting. And so Amazon Go. Amazon has opened up a store in Seattle that doesn't have cashiers. No cashiers.
Just really think about that. Like, there's no one that is servicing this place. The mm-hmm. the what is it, 10, 15? At least when I go into the Giant, there's at least five or six people mm-hmm. that I can count on to, you know, take my item, ring it up for me, give me that service.
Mm-hmm.
This, on the other hand, I mean, this is beyond self-service. This is the next level,
mm-hmm.
because you literally scan your phone. You go into this, we'll say warehouse or department store or grocery store. You go in and you pick up what you want off of the shelf, and they automatically charge you for it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you walk out with
it.
It's
absolutely brilliant.
It is brilliant. But what are the ramifications again?
The ramifications again is that there's a lot of cashiers and people that are out of jobs. And so you know that Amazon has this thing they like to brag about, that an actual human being only touches your product for a minute. You know, like to get off the shelf and put it out there in the truck to get it to your house, an Amazon employee only needs to touch it for like a minute's worth of time. And so,
by the way, they're mad about that minute.
and so you know what the next level is. You know what the next level is, right? They're going to have robots stocking the shelves in the store. But the way that it works, ladies and gentlemen, is that Amazon is using sensors like RFID and computer vision inside the store to recognize when you pick up an item and you're putting it in your bag and then walking out. And then it automatically bills your Prime account. For me, I don't like shopping. I don't like grocery shopping.
But you do like stealing.
No.
So this feels like stealing. You walk in, you put it in your pocket, and you walk out.
You're paying for your stuff. You're paying for your stuff.
You're not stealing.
You're paying for your stuff, but I don't like shopping because you're just standing in line. You know, it's like, yes, when I go in there early, I don't mind conversation with the cashier lady. But at 6 p.m. after work, I just want to get my stuff and I want to get out.
Out. Now, you know, they have something similar now in the Giant, which they have these guns, and you pick them up and you scan your thing or whatever. And, and I always, you know, and I'm, and this is me, I'm definitely afraid that I've missed something because they audit you. You know what I mean? I don't want to be that dude to get audited. Like, sir, why didn't you scan the toothpaste? We got him. And I'm going to go down as a toothpaste stealer.
Right.
But it's coming. I mean, it's just a matter of time. And again, and with the future proof, you know, I'm wondering whether or not this is just technology that will not only be available to Amazon, but will they lease it out? Will they allow? And that's what I think is really interesting here.
And so the great thing is that some of these same technologies that they're using for the Amazon Go store, you can use in your environment. It may not be as sophisticated, but we've talked about RFID technology here on this show that you can actually use today.
Right.
You know, AIs and the first conversational AIs are starting to come online. And so you can expect to use some of these similar things, you know, in your business. And so it may not be as sophisticated, but you will be able to utilize some of the same technology.
Yes.
Very soon. All right. Last item. $2 trillion worth of jobs can be automated. So we talked about Otto this summer. I don't know about you, but, you know, I'm a X.AI, you know, subscriber. And so you can use Jamie and Jane to actually book all of your meeting appointments. You know, so it handles that whole thing for you. You know, you don't need a secretary to do that sort of thing. And so, you know, like, what can we do to, you know, stem this loss? Like, $2 trillion, I look at it as that means – $2 trillion can go back into the economy. You know, we have a $17 trillion economy.
Get that new yacht.
That $2 trillion can go back into it, and we can invent the next thing. My view on this as a technologist is that we hold on to a lot of things.
Let me poke a pin. And I'm not popping. I'm just saying is that do you think that innovation is hampered from a lack of funding? Because you're saying that the $2 trillion goes back in and that it allows for more innovation and it allows for people to invent the next thing. And I mean, I don't know. I mean, you tell me. I mean, is it our invention, our ingenuity, is it hampered? I don't think it's hampered by lack of ideas. Well, I don't think ideas are spawned from me having money or someone giving me money. Now, whether or not those ideas get off the ground and get marketed the way they should, and get to market, get onto the streets. I see that, but is that what you're saying? Or correct me if I'm wrong.
So there's a couple things. New idea. So just basic human psychology is that we don't do anything until we're hurt. You know, we gotta have problems. You know,
right.
We gotta have problems, and we don't solve problems until it really affects us.
This is your audio jack. This is the same thing you're saying about the audio jack. Bluetooth sucks because they didn't have to make it better.
Right.
And because Apple has taken away the audio jack, it's gonna make Bluetooth better. Am I wrong?
So after the end of the Civil War, you had to pay the slaves. You just couldn't have slave labor, right?
Yeah.
And so what came out of that? Cotton gin.
Okay.
Right.
Well, I think is that at one point it was like we could work the slaves harder now.
Well, that's actually that's what happens out of economics. So with the car industry, remember everyone was like, oh, they got robots and they're going nuts. People work harder now with the robots. They build more cars.
Look,
there's more work.
There's more work.
And so my argument is that we are band-aiding and holding on to all these other industries, and until we suffer, you know, the pain of the job losses and economic activity, we're not going to invent the next stuff and get this large build out. Like, look,
you're saying let go, and just free fall and feel that pain or free fall and just trust that it will be okay and that you know, just you know, the history shows us that something else will be made. Everything will be all right because over history has shown us that things go away and things come back to us and things come to life. And you're saying there's going to be something. I mean, when you think about the election and you think about what Twitter. No, I mean, I'm not going to go into a rant here, but you think about what Twitter meant in this election and what email meant in this election. Mm-hmm. Just think about these two, what we may call small things, but these things 20 years ago
did not exist.
Not to the extent that it did now.
Right.
We would have never foreseen. Well, even in 2008, Twitter. Mm-hmm. I don't know if Twitter wasn't even around in
2008.
So it meant nothing. So who knows what will be there or be here 4 years, 8 years from now. And I think that maybe, especially with technology, because things happen so fast, exponentially faster now, mm-hmm. is that I think maybe we can grasp it a little more than versus when, you know, like the automatic transmission came up.
It's like chauffeurs are like, man, they're going to take my job away because they had automatic transmission. I mean, come on. I mean, let's let some of these old things go. I always tell people, app developer, CEO, business company leader, that didn't exist when I was in fifth grade.
You're saying it's going to be okay.
It's absolutely going to be
okay.
That's
what you're saying. Well, thank you, Will.
Let the machines come. All right, you know, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break right now. It's 8:28. And we want to hear from you. We talked a lot of trash tonight, and usually you don't let us off the hook that easy. And so we want to hear from you, 410-319-8888. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to get into Future Proof.
Tomorrow, in the tradition, 8 p.m. to 12 a.m., your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community.
Support for WEAA is provided by the Afro-American Newspapers, now in its 121st year of publication, with editions in Baltimore and Washington, D.C. The Afro is available on afro.com, Facebook, and Twitter. For subscription information, 800-237-6892. That's 800-237-6892. And members like you. Thank you. Did you miss your favorite WEAA public affairs show this week? Not to worry. You can listen to the podcast online at weaa.org by clicking the public affairs tab. You can also subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. Simply search the show name and press subscribe. Your podcast will automatically update on your iTunes library. We are keeping you informed on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM.
Join me tomorrow on WEAA for Cool Vibes from 12 noon to 2 p.m., where positive reflections is the key. I'm Sandy Mallory with the best music and information you need to know from your source for cool jazz on WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community.
This is a two-way conversation.
Phone lines are open.
Join in on the discussion. First-time callers are encouraged. Questions or comments?
410-319-8888.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the show, Baltimore. It is William Mapp, and beside me is Herlin Best, and you are listening to The Sync. This is the technology segment for Briefcase Radio. I'm in the chair another night for Omar Muhammad, and tonight's show is Future Proof, and we were talking off the air about the robots and talking to the robots because we got a question on Twitter about home automation, gift recommendations, and what do you think about the dot? So there was this independent movie that came out Friday. Made by a small studio, you know, and the movie's called Rogue One.
Hope it does well.
I hope it did well.
Fingers crossed.
And so the question is about the dot. And for those of you that don't know, I think the dot is this year's gadget gift. And so we had the gift guide, and we briefly talked about it, but the Dot's Light this year is, I think, it gadget gift. And the reason why is that—
And describe briefly what the Dot is.
Oh, the Dot. Okay. So Amazon, which is going to own everything, everybody apparently, they made a conversational AI called Alexa, and they baked Alexa into this gadget called the Dot. And so you can say, hey, Alexa.
It's a hockey puck.
Yeah, it's a small disc, you know, shape thing. And this, Amazon has the Dot. Google has Google Home, which you can purchase now for like less than $130. So you say, hey, Alexa, you know, what's the weather for today? And Alexa would do the lookup and bark it back to you and talk to you. It's like, hey, Alexa, you know, play Change Clothes. You know,
and off it goes.
And then now Tide doesn't have a job because Alexa and the Dot has taken over our production.
Dot, take us a commercial.
Taking our production duties. And so it is a conversational AI type device. Now, what's cool about the Dot is that it can hook into multiple things. And so Philips creates these light bulbs called the Hue, and they use Bluetooth connections, and you can change the dimness, you know, how bright and dark the bulbs go. But you can also—
And they're connected to Wi-Fi.
Or they're connected to Wi-Fi, and then the Dot's connected to Wi-Fi, but you communicate to the Dot using your
voice. Bluetooth.
Not Bluetooth.
We just had a discussion.
Right. but the thing is, you can actually change the color of the lights, for the Philips Hue lights. And so it's a really cool device. The Dot has 3,000 skill sets is what Amazon calls them, which are like 3,000 voice-activated applications, if you will.
That actually sounds low to me, but okay. No, I mean, if you think about everything,
you can't. It has more than Google Home.
You're
acting like this is like 2030, and this stuff it ain't hard, you know. But the Dot has 3,000 skills, and it looks up recipes, looks up traffic, you know, sports, all these other things, and it's very inexpensive. So it comes in two different form factors. You can get the Dot, which is less than $50. Mm-hmm. And if you go to the Amazon pop-up store, you can get it for less than $40, by the way.
Oh.
And so you can get like a sack of these things for like a couple $100. And it also comes in the Echo, which is a Dot with a built-in speaker. And so the difference between the two is that you can scatter the Dot throughout your house. And if you have a decent, you know, sound system, or you have Bluetooth speakers at different areas in the house, you can connect those Dots to the speaker, and you have a voice-activated home, essentially. A really, you know, futuristic type of
home automation.
So I was telling Herlin off the air, I was in the Bose store yesterday, and they have a deal where you get one of their, you know, nicer Bluetooth speakers plus a Dot for, like, less than $200.
Wow.
And we're talking about a speaker that can fill the size of one of Bose's, you know, stores in the mall. And so this is, like, not a small speaker. And so that's what I think. That's to answer your question. On Twitter, but
we're high on the Dot. We're high on the Dot.
We're very high on the Dot in Baltimore.
It's big. It's huge. It's huge. Good.
It's
good.
Huge. So, ladies and gentlemen, 410-319-8888. Tonight's show is Future Proof. We just had an election. You know, we talked about jobs and how it's precarious. And so some of this stuff is going to sound like common sense. It's the end of the year. It's 2016. You know,
2016.
You're out there buying gifts, you're expensing, but you're also looking forward to 2017 and what you're going to think through for next year. And so, business owners, I want to hear from you how you think you can future-proof your business. Here are five tips that I've come up with of how I'm future-proofing my future business.
Pen and paper, people. This is good stuff.
And so, number one, common sense, accept uncertainty.
Okay.
It's like you're looking at it like, okay. Like,
well, no, I mean, I think that you can't, I mean, because I think the accepting part, is it going to stop it from happening?
No.
Because it's going to happen. And just struggling with it and fighting it and letting it stress you out is not going to help you. I mean, it's just the truth. Stressing out about it and struggling and fighting uncertainty isn't going to help you. So accept it. Look at it, especially if you're a business owner, as to how can I use this to— – I mean, I'll say this. This is going to be unpopular. But someone told me, and I'm not going to say any names, say capital letters. You know what I'm talking about.
I know you're talking about.
But someone told me, you know, that even with all the angst that 47% of of America has with the results of the election, that there are still opportunities out here.
That's right.
Based upon what just happened. Now— – I mean,
why don't you just say exactly what he said?
Well, there's opportunities. This administration is going to provide opportunity to make money.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just the truth. When you strip away these regulations and these things that have hampered. I won't say hampered. I don't want to get into that. But when you strip away a lot of this stuff, there will be ways to make more money than you made before in certain industries, or there'll be opportunities to inject your business into certain areas that were not there before.
Mm-hmm.
So the uncertainty sometimes is good. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're not certain, but on the other end of uncertainty, the results may be beneficial to your business. So don't blind yourself with the stress and the anxiety, and you may end up missing the opportunity.
That's right.
So
the only thing that makes life possible is permanent, intolerable uncertainty, not knowing what comes next. Ursula K. L. Guin.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty classy for this show.
It is very classy. And so I think you've expressed that eloquently. Now, I was also told something else today. Today, of all places, in church.
Oh, church.
You were here today.
I heard about church.
You heard about church. Change your party affiliation.
You mean Team Android?
Yes, Team Android.
Oh, there you go.
All right. So embrace uncertainty. I think Herlin's right. There is going to be money to be made in this administration. Like, for instance, if they're going to be stripping away regulations, that means that, you know, there's a business opportunity there to slide in and fulfill that little service that's now missing. Like, how quickly can you scale up?
Yeah.
You know, if there's no longer a regulation there, how can you slide in and fulfill that, you know, formal roadblock and now provide a new service to.
But we have to pay attention. And you have to pay attention.
You got to pay attention. All right. So embrace change. And this is easy. I mean, this is like common sense stuff, right? But, you know, in reality, there's a lot of people here taking Xanax because, you know, Trump got elected, you know. But the thing is, though, is that fluidity is actually what leads to more economic activity. You know, look, we've had the digital web market. You know, then we had .com, and then .com flayed out. Then we had big networking, where we were pushing around telecommunications, all this.
Don't forget Black Planet.
And then we had Black Planet and Net Noir. You know, there's a couple of rooms in Black Planet that stick out in my head. But and then we had the run-up to the app market. You know, music saw a sea change, and then we had Spotify, so we had to run up in the app market. And now we are at the ground floor, ladies and gentlemen, of the AI.
Yes, AI.
You know, machine learning market. And so with all this change, that means that there's additional opportunity.
Now, let's back up with AI, because me personally, especially a layman, mm-hmm. when you hear AI, artificial intelligence, that mm-hmm. sounds like the kind of stuff that Cisco or Apple would be involved in. But mm-hmm. these are things that, you know, that small business people can get involved with, right?
That's right. And so we are starting to see, you know, the first AI in a box type solutions. Like, we're starting to see people starting to offer, you know, access to their AI. Microsoft right now mm-hmm. is offering access to their cognitive services, is what they've called it. You know, uh-huh. you got to brand this stuff, right? And so they're offering access to their AI. Some of these things are at no cost, ladies and gentlemen. And so we're talking about being able to scan text and understand what's in it for y'all lawyer-type people out there in your small practices, and these big practices got all these software guys writing code to scan documents. What if you could feed your documents into a Microsoft Cognitive Services, you know, interface and look for certain keywords? This stuff is available right now for your use.
Wow.
And so, you know, we're at the ground floor of this, you know.
Right.
And so a little bit of creativity is like, I don't know how to program AI. Okay, but does someone else offer it, you know?
Yeah.
What can I do to take advantage of that service?
Yeah.
And here we are. And so always tell people, I said it tonight, what I do didn't exist when I was in fifth grade, you know? And right now there's people like AI specialist, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so today you can go to Coursera, you know, you can go to Udacity, take an AI course. You know, you don't have to get deep involvement, but you can take the course to understand how it works.
Now, just a minute. This is just off the top of the dome.
Off the top of the dome.
Now, listen, because you're talking about AI, and again, to me, it sounds, I don't know, a little scary. But, and that's because I've just seen way too many science fiction movies. Mm-hmm. But it sounds like there's an opportunity there. And even in when you're explaining it to me and how these things can be translated to a business, I mean, there has to be AI consultant groups or AI, mm-hmm. or even the, you know, if you learn about these, to become an AI consultant, mm-hmm. to walk into a mom and pop store and they hear AI and they're like, well, what can that do for me? Mm-hmm. And if you can draw it out and actually plan for them and say, hey, this is available to you today for minimal cost and it will affect your business in this way, that there is an opportunity.
So here it is. Here it is right here. I should be charging money for this.
Yeah.
Is that all?
You hear that, people?
All the service businesses that, you know, tweet us here. Like, we have, these are Plan Prosper, you know, accountants. All these service businesses here that have to do discovery, that mm-hmm. have to do audits, all these things. There are AI, you know, APIs, interfaces, in which you can upload entire documents. You can upload spreadsheets, you know, mm-hmm. and you can look for certain keywords or patterns in this. These are things that human beings were really good at, you know, like computers used to be very dumb. You know, you tell right. a computer, are they lying in this document? Now, using AI, we can actually know what their sentiment is, whether they're happy or sad, whether there's left-leaning, right-leaning, because of these new interfaces.
Right, right,
and
right.
so you have people that do this for you that you pay on staff. You know, what if you could free up some of that time to use these? Feed in is like, I'm looking for sentiment analysis, happy, sad, positive, negative. Right. You know, feed these documents in. Microsoft, you tell me what the sentiment is. And then now you're reviewing. You're not doing all the hard work, scanning entire documents and spending days doing it. You've done it in a matter of
minutes.
The labor
intensive, the minutia.
And so now you've become more efficient. And then you can go to your customers like, oh, yeah, you know, we use AI to do some of our client discovery stuff. You know, because I get attorneys that call me. I get attorneys that call me about patents. They need to do patent searches and all this stuff. It's high labor intensive because there's a lot of reading.
Right.
You know, and here's a cognitive API that you can now use as a company. Microsoft.com Cognitive Services API. It's up there for your use.
Okay.
And so there you go.
That's your first. That's change that's coming that you can use for you and your business's opportunity, support.
And this segues into the next one, number three. Don't run away from technology. And so I still get it, man. I've tried to sit here in this chair and help people out. But really don't run away from it. This is something that, you know, we are here. Our kids embrace this stuff like it's water.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
they jump in with both feet.
Whether it's VR goggles or the latest iGadget or Android gadget.
iPads,
all this stuff. They jump into it, and they're just intrigued by it. And now, as a business owner, we should be out here doing the same thing. There's so much tech. Contact EDAC. This is why.
I mean, at the top of the show, you laid out several with the emails and with being able to use email to better your business. This is all technology that you should be running toward and not away from, because everybody's using email. And if you can use email and leverage it to make your business better and more efficient, then run to it, not from it. Mm-hmm. Don't be afraid of it.
And don't be afraid to use some of these services. Like, you know, EDAC has this thing, that 14-day, you know, email course. This is legit because crafting emails that people really want to read to see what your deals are, it's not just putting your deal in the email. There's stuff that has that. Constant Contact, we use it. EDAC has a partnership with them. They have these courses on how to actually evaluate your emails, you know, and it gives you the opens. It tells you how many people click through. These are all things to help you get better in your business. Does it take time to learn? Of course it does.
Right.
You know, it's a product. But the benefits definitely outweigh you just sitting at your computer copying email addresses into your Gmail account, trying to send a deal out to your customers. And so just use some of this stuff. And the thing is that I don't want you to listen thinking that, you know, I'm immune, you know, he's a software company, so he got nothing to worry about. It's like,
right.
Today.
It's like Michael Phelps telling me not to be afraid of water.
I mean, we're writing code today that writes code. So even in the technology industry, this isn't something that, you know, we're just in its exalted place, is that we have bots now that can write code. And so even for some of the basic stuff, we're automating away so we can write newer, cooler stuff that's a lot better.
And more efficiently do it.
more efficiently and cheaper. Again, and cheaper.
And I guess, and again, where do you start? The EDAC.
EDAC.
Right there.
Here's a big one, and this is one I had to learn. Number four, focus on user, consumer, customer experience. So, all right, for real. It's going to be a fight to the death. We see it now with Amazon. Amazon gets you your products with one click in many cases. And now with Alexa, you get no clicks. You can tell Alexa, bring me some Tide with bleach. And Alexa has built your Prime account to get you Tide with
bleach. And it's shipping the next day.
And so the reason why is that Amazon focuses on the customer first. You know, not on the supply chain, which they're really good at.
Not on the employee.
You know, definitely not on the employee. Amazon employees are some of the most disgruntled employees. But they focus on the user. And so as a small business, and this small business that I really love really make me feel special, you know, because, and there's a really big opportunity here is that if you can use technology to make your business more efficient, but then you can provide a human experience, you know, make that person feel good, you're going to make bank because humans aren't mature enough to use technology. And so it takes a special person to sit up here and say, this needs to be more human, like Uber. You know, I think they're anti-people.
Ooh.
I think they are.
That's a shot.
It is a shot. I've said it live. It's on the record. But, you know, focus on the user experience, like your actual customer. Like, how are they benefiting? You know, how are they feeling good about purchasing this? The reason why the Apple Store is always packed is because they figured out a way to make people like being there. Their experience.
And to make people want to be there. The experience. And I say this, and I'm, you know, especially when we're talking about robots and AI and, it's one thing I've noticed that number one is that to me, a robot can't smile at me.
Right.
You know what I mean? And then we talk about we're losing cashiers, but, and this is going on all over here, but I think that at some point, we just want to be able to get smiles. You know what I mean? Like when I go to Chick-fil-A, like I love going to Chick-fil-A. Mm-hmm. It's always a wonderful experience because I always get customer service and I get smiles. And if you focus on not what you can't do like the other guys, but what you can do better than the other guys, especially if they're peeling out the human element, is that if I know I'm speaking to a person and I'm getting positive feedback from them, and, you know, at the bank, you know, people talk about going to the bank versus going to the kiosk. If I'm getting that positive feedback from someone, hey, it's why we pay $6 for a coffee when you go to Starbucks.
That's right.
Hands down. That's it. Now, think about this. We talk about kiosks, right? And you think about Starbucks. Would you rather go to a Starbucks and go through the whole, you know, Starbucks ritual, you know, giving your name. They call your name out, latte, and you go over and you pick it up. Versus, remember those old kiosks, those old coffee machines?
Yeah, from the cup would come down.
Like, the cup would just fall down out of nowhere and just spray the coffee into the cup. I mean, but you can get that for cheaper, but is that what you want?
Exactly.
And that's what you should focus on.
So let's relate this to small businesses.
Exactly.
One that I've worked with before, Benedetto down here on St. Paul. I talked about the vending machine that vends out socks. You know, Benedetto, you know, suit, shoe, sock place. I like going there because Kevin makes it like a sock, you know, experience.
It's an experience. That's the right word. It's an experience.
That's what it is that, you know, you can use technology to check your inventory. You can use technology to automatically order your stuff. You can use AI to measure what people are buying to try to figure out what products you want to sell. Right. But in the end, you will do yourself and your business a great service by just treating that person like a human being, getting to know them. You know, Will, I got some orange diamond socks that you're going to love.
You know, when you were here last time, I saw you looking at these red socks over here. So I brought them out. You're like, really?
That's what it is. I'm serious, man. That's a simple thing.
People will pay more for that. People pay, like I said, $6. I had to cut back. I ain't going to lie. But $6 for a cup of coffee just because of the experience.
And number five, acquire deep knowledge in an industry, then widen your view. So, you know, for real people, there's a lot of just freely available, like, text on artificial intelligence. You know, I've tried to get people to just know and understand how app development actually, how the actual task is performed. Go deep. You know, learn something about technology. If you rely on stocking your store, really go deep into analysis, analytics, you know, taking all your purchase data, feeding it into some machine learning, you know, API that can tell you, is like, you need to focus on selling more of these items. Microsoft has that in their cognitive services. That's one of their examples that they give you to say, put your data here, and it'll tell you what you should be selling. And so, like, get deep into it. Understand, you know, a lot about how these things work. Like, why do the AI engines simulate the human brain? You don't have to be able to write one, but just knowing how they work and why they work will give you a really broader view. And then the next thing you know, you're starting to come up with new ideas yourself on how you can take advantage of these technologies. And so, like, really acquire deep knowledge in an industry, then widen your view. Go deep, then go wide. Technology is just an enabler. You know, that's it.
Right.
You know,
it's a helper.
It's it. It's not a replacement. You know, the bot really isn't a replacement. We're not at Star Wars yet where we can where the bots can make jokes. Well, you know, we're not there yet. But, you know, I'm just trying to be, you know, for real, you know, be a leader in your field and then go wide.
And go wide. And then that wideness, that technology is what is the tool that makes you go wider. You know, you get deep and you learn as much as possible. You read as much as possible. You go to the experts, and then before you know it, you know, 10,000 hours.
That's what I'm saying. You're becoming one. And then the bonus, you know, there's always a bonus on this show. Understand economics. And it's like, I'm on my soapbox, right?
There we go.
I'm on my soapbox.
He loves economics.
I love economics.
John Smith.
And so, you know, the Freakonomics guys, there's this thing called Spouseonomics. You know, my wife's like, well, how come, you know, you do this? Spouseonomics.
I didn't hear about this.
Spouseonomics. It's like, well, how come you do this and I do that? Well, it's like, that's because I can do it better, and you do that better. And so we make out. Everyone makes out. It's a team effort. And so, you know, like economics, you know.
The quarterback can't demand to catch the ball, too.
Your show, Planet Money. If you're listening to us, and you better be listening to our podcast, listen to Planet Money as well. Put it on your list.
I'm a big fan.
There's a great one about the origin of light, right? How light came, the history of light, like the lights that are on right now.
Yes, and how it changed, altered America, altered the world.
And so how does economic growth happen? Someone finds a cheaper way, a faster way, a more productive way of doing something, which explains why we have kiosks, which explains why we have the automation, is because people have figured out a way of doing things cheaper. Now, that goes back into building, you know, more spending.
Right.
You know, and so.
Well, I mean, think about that with the light. You're talking about at one point it was candles, okay?
Candles.
Now, were there scented candles back then?
Oh, they smell like whale blubber.
They could care less what the candles smell like. Am I wrong?
Right.
Because it would lighten your house. That's what you wanted to do, and you're paying us good money for it. Now,
a day's worth of work for minutes, right?
Exactly. So with the day that light bulbs show up, the candle makers are like, oh, crap. We need to innovate, and we need to make this candle more than just lighting your house up.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have Yankee Candle.
You're coming to my side. See, you're coming to my
if
side.
If not for light
Even
bulbs.
Even Ty is smiling. You're coming to my side.
If not for light bulbs, we would not have Yankee Candle.
That's what I'm saying. You're
it's
coming to my side. That's all it is, man. It's all, so understanding, like, basic economics. And it's like the $15 per hour thing.
Right.
A business owner, you too include, I'm talking to you, you too that's listening, you know, you're going to figure out a way of doing that cheaper. And you could be the one, you know, coming up with some new fangled way of making your service business and other service businesses could actually be more effective as well. That's how economic growth works. That's how we get more money in our pocket over time. And so last soapbox item, because we got 5 minutes left, and that's why we need to stop band-aiding some of these older industries, automate them, so we can invent the next thing.
Right. It's kind of like if you're used to walking and I just chop your right leg off, you'd become the best hopper in the world. Was that wrong? Oh, I went too far. I've gone too far.
All right, you know what? It's 5 minutes left. Everybody, it's Christmas time. When I get on Facebook and Twitter, people are still up in arms about this election thing. You know, it's Christmas time. It's a time for you know, just goodwill towards all men. I just want to say, closing out, I want to thank you for giving me another year here. I want to thank Omar, station management here, for you know, bring us on for 2017 too. You know, we got the notice that we're going to be back. So I appreciate that. I appreciate y'all asking, you know, your questions on Twitter and following us on Twitter. The sync was, even though we have some episodes we got to publish, it's still a top 100 podcast on Podomatic. So y'all are listening to it. We get the downloads. I want to thank Omar for being in his chair for another year. I want to thank Herlin. You know, Herlin is, you know, he's really into technology. I mean, he laughs and cracks jokes, but he's like, he's a technologist himself. And so yeah, I think I just called him nerd,
but yeah, it's almost the same thing. I'm a nerd for technology.
And so I just want to wish y'all a Merry Christmas. I want y'all to be safe out there. You know, keep yourselves warm. It was cold this last couple of weeks. I'm getting teary-eyed and, you know, emotional.
Don't do it. I said I wasn't going to do this.
But we will see you in 2017. And so I want you to subscribe to The Sync. Go to, you know, your podcast app on your iOS device and just subscribe and share it with your friends. Download our app from the Google Play Store. Keep listening to The Sync. I appreciate all of your comments. I thank you for all your calls for this year. Merry Christmas, Baltimore. You want to say something?
Thank you. Thank you for having me for another year. Thank you for bringing me back next year. I'm assuming you're going to bring me back next year. I didn't.
Yeah.
I didn't know who that dude was outside. I didn't know he was auditioning or not. But no, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for listening to me, Baltimore. Thank you for not complaining about me. And thank you, Will, for your insight, for making it easier for me to understand and not fear the future, but grasp the future.
Yes, grasp the future. All right, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you, Ty, for producing another great show, man. And yeah, Amazon is Skynet. I saw your question up there. Yeah, Amazon is Skynet. They're coming for us,
they're coming.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, here it is. I'm going to give it to you one last time in 2016. I'm Will Mapp. Thanks for listening, and you've been synced!